So we are continuing a series called Kids These Days, in which we're looking at the scripture to give us a wisdom for how it is that we navigate being a blessing and not a curse to generations different than our own. We're specifically looking at generations that are younger than ours, but of course these principles work in all sorts of scenarios. Before we get into it, I just wanted to give you a quick reminder that we are in the middle of our summer schedule. Today is Wear Your Favorite Band T-shirt Day, and I win because Rush is the best band. There's at least, thank you. We can go home now. That's all we needed today. So I saw like 7 or 8 people with Beatles T-shirts, and so you guys get runner up, but Rush is better than the Beatles. So make sure you check out your handout or join online on our website, dsbc.church, our summer schedule. We've got all sorts of themed Sundays coming up. And then just wanted to let you know that starting in July, every Sunday in July, after our worship gathering, we're going to have opportunities to eat. Food. Yeah, this isn't like metaphorical, like dying on the word of God. I mean, we're actually going to eat food. So we'd love to have you join us. Just plan on having some lunch here on those days. Again, all that of it is available in your handout. Also wanted to let you know today that in a couple weeks, we are sending a team. I'll be on that team. We're sending a team to Uganda to serve with a ministry called A Perfect Injustice. We're going to be doing teacher training and running a camp for a bunch of kids. It's going to be a blast, and we are so grateful to many of you who have financially supported this trip. It wouldn't be possible without you. And today, we've got some folks from the team who are going to be doing pictures for Father's Day. So if you want your official Father's Day picture, that'll be out available. You just go through the lobby, and then off to the right, there'll be a station there for you. And you know, there's like a donation situation. I mean, these photos, I would gladly pay $17,000 for one of these photos. I just want to let you know kind of the scope of how good these photos are going to be. They're going to be so good. So all of the funds that get donated today are going to go to support the Uganda team as we head out here in a couple weeks. And then finally, wanted to say a huge thank you to those of you who have financially supported and given of your time and energy with some of the Habitat for Humanity projects that we've done over the last year. We've been partnered with Habitat for Humanity for about 4 years now, and specifically in the Palomino community. Over the last year, we've been able to bless 20 families with things like a new roof, a removal of mold, paint, things like that. And so thank you so much for your generosity and your support. This kind of concludes, like the summertime, we just don't do a lot of projects in the summertime. Do you know why we don't do a lot of projects in the summertime? Because it's 100 and billion degrees outside. And so we will pick back up with Habitat. Our intention is to pick back up with them in the next build season, which will be later this fall. So stay tuned for that. Huge thanks again for your generosity and support with the Habitat for Humanity project. We are, like I said, continuing a series called Kids These Days. Today, we're going to look specifically to the book of Proverbs. And I want to invite you in to some texts that often get misunderstood, and we're going to take a look at them and hopefully get a better understanding of not only what the texts mean, but also how they apply to our lives. We're specifically thinking today about God as a father. So we are here celebrating Father's Day. And as we think about God, many of us have different images, different perspectives, different ideas of who God is, how God operates, what God is like. One of the things that we see throughout the scripture is that God is frequently referred to as a father, God the Father. So like there's that prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray. It starts with our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so we consistently see God as Father. The hard part, though, is sometimes earthly fathers aren't great. And every earthly father fails. And so when we think about God as a father, sometimes our vision can be clouded by how we see earthly fathers. Even like the best dads, like you guys are going to buy cards for dads and it's going to say best dad, but you're lying, right? And just, I know you're lying because it's a manufactured card, which means multiple people buy the card that say best dad. So dads, if your child gives you a card that says best dad, just tamper your expectations a little bit, okay? The other people are getting the same card, okay? So we know that even if we get like the best dad card, we know we still fail for those of us that are dads. For those of you who grew up with an imperfect father or maybe even an absent father, you know here that when we call God father, sometimes that can actually cause us to feel pain or uncertainty. Or doubt. That, coupled with language about discipline, can often cause us to go, that God is going to discipline. And we think about, okay, for some of us, what we experienced wasn't so much discipline, but maybe we felt like it was punishment. And so that will frame our idea of who God is and how God is. God calls himself Father, and we think about earthly fathers being imperfect. That can sometimes cloud our understanding of who God is. And so I hope to, today, as we look to three of the most frequently used texts about God, Father, and discipline, I hope to give us a little bit more clarity on who God is, how it is that God is Father, and then hopefully we can take from that wisdom for those of us who are currently parenting younger kids. We can take lessons from that as we think about, for all of us, our relationship with our Heavenly Father. I wanted to invite you, for those of you who are currently parenting younger kids, we would love to hear from you. Our Adventure Kids and Student Ministries loves to partner with parents as you disciple your kids towards Jesus, and your information and your input would really be helpful to us. So we'd love for you to, like right now, you can get out your phone and you can scan the QR code, you can visit dsbc.me/parent23 or text TYHS to 90888, and we would love to get your feedback. Your input will help us shape our ministry model and offerings in the months and years to come. And so we'd love to have you give us your input. In these three texts in the book of Proverbs, we have them available in your handout. Are they in your handout? Can you guys let me know? There should be. And there's three, and they're all in Proverbs? I got the right date. Whew, yes. And for those of you that are joining us online, if you don't have a Bible with you, I'd invite you just open up a new browser, go to Bible.com, and we're using the Christian Standard Version of the Bible today. These three texts reveal God as Father, and they talk about discipline. So let's take a look. This is Proverbs 3, 11 through 12. Check this out. Do not despise the Lord's instruction, my son, and do not loathe his discipline. Are you happy? Like, is this happy? Like, do you put this on your coffee mug, right? Don't despise this. So just notice, this is a parent talking to a child. The book of Proverbs, much of the book of Proverbs, the literary genre, it's styled in such a way that it's like wise parents instructing a child. Much of the time, the narrative, the story in Proverbs is from a father to a son or from a mother to a son. Do not despise the Lord's instruction, notice this, instruction, and do not loathe his, okay. We're going to see throughout the book of Proverbs this type of language, God's instruction and God's discipline. Notice here, when does instruction come? When do you instruct somebody? Come on, talk to me now. At the beginning of a project, when they're setting out to do something they may or may not know how to do, if you have wisdom, you've got experience, you've got know-how, and you sit someone down and you say, this is how you do the thing. That's instruction, right? When do you do discipline, before or after? Okay, so it depends, right? Watch this now. So discipline in most of our imagination, when we think about parents doing discipline, it's because their child did something wrong. Okay, so you did something wrong and you are going to receive discipline. That's in our corporate like in our imagination, that's usually what happens or what we think of when we think of discipline. But is discipline only when somebody does something wrong? Now, what is another example of a discipline that may not be corollary to somebody doing something wrong? Correction, okay, what else? Routine, yeah, like, do you know that they're like a gym? You've seen these things? People go into them, they pay money, and then they go into them and put their bodies under excruciating pain. And many of them will be, these people who are paying money to do this, they will go and they will go certain times of the week at the same time, and they, and you might refer to them as being a disciplined person. Anyone ever served in the military? Discipline, right? Wake up at this time, do it this way, everything is to a T. You're going to be instructed, but you're also going to practice discipline. So discipline is not only when you do something wrong, it's also the regular rhythm of doing things the wise way, or to put it another way, the righteous or just way. God disciplines and instructs. And just let me ask you a question. Is that good? Is it good when parents instruct and discipline children in the true sense of the word? Watch me now. I'm not saying punishment. I'm saying discipline. Don't do it this way. Don't do it that way, right? Instruction and discipline. Parents, I have a question for you. Do you have it all figured out? When you became a parent, did they give you a magic book that said, here's how to do all the things? No. So as parents, should parents receive instruction and discipline as a regular rhythm of their lives? So I'm going to just give a little shout out to parents. One of the best things for those of you that are parenting, for those of you that are leading children, whatever that looks like, one of the best things you can do is be open about how you are receiving instruction and discipline to normalize and to celebrate it as a model for the children that you're giving instruction and discipline to. Which means you might find yourself changing your mind, or changing your methods, and being open and honest with your children that you are also receiving instruction and discipline. The text goes on. Watch this now. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he is receiving discipline and instruction from the Lord, an act of hate. Okay, so when we hear God our Father, when we hear of discipline, oftentimes we have these negative connotations around it. But notice that the Lord disciplines those he loves, right? Discipline is not the same as vengeance or punishment. It is correcting. And you only correct people who you actually care about, right? If you care about the way someone's going, if you care about someone's life, you offer instruction and correction. So notice that God disciplines those he loves. If you have a four-year-old in the house, and there's a stove, or a stovetop that's boiling water, and the four-year-old's kind of like floating around that space, like the kitchen, what inevitably would a good adult instruct the child not to do? Why? Is it because you don't want them to make a mess? Is it because you're angry with them? Is it because you hate them? Why would an adult instruct a four-year-old around a burning hot stove, don't touch the stove? Out of what would be the compulsion for that? Love. Do you see it? God our Father loves us and instructs and disciplines us out of love, not out of rage or vengeance or hatred. Now, for giving instruction to children, it changes. So I want to just maybe just have a little conversation with those of you who are finding yourself in a new phase of parenting or investing in kids these days. Whether you're a teacher, or the guardian, grandparent, aunt, uncle, parent, whatever it might be, I want to just notice something. Do 4-year-olds have a different set of issues than 14-year-olds? Do 14-year-olds have a different set of issues than 34-year-olds? Do 34-year-olds have a different set of issues than 64-year-olds? Yes. Which means that the discipline and instruction needs to change as the child changes. God does not discipline the same for each, each person is unique, right? The discipline does not always look the same. It's different for each person by different phases of life. And often for younger children, we start with protection, right? Don't touch the stove. Everything's an absolute. But as children grow and mature, we move away from absolutes, do this, don't do that, and we move into be wise. Become wise. We move from protection to preparation. And God the Father wants us to move from absolutes, do this, don't do that, to becoming wise, from protection to preparation. God instructs. So you know the Bible? You guys have heard of this? It's pretty cool. I'm a big fan of the Bible. In fact, if you haven't read it, go home today, read the whole thing cover to cover. You're gonna love it, okay? It's going to be very confusing, but you're going to love it. Okay, so one of the things that confuses a lot of people is when they go to the instruction or the discipline of the word, right? They go to the Bible, they expect it to behave in absolutes. Don't touch the stove, right? You guys are familiar with this? Like you go to the Bible and you're like, Bible, should I take this job? Slay the Amalekites. That doesn't seem to work that way, right? We go to the Bible, we expect it to give us straightforward, do this, don't do that, don't touch the stove or clean your room. We think when we go to the Bible, it's just going to be a list of questions that we have and direct answers. But for those of you who have, spoiler alert, for those of you who have read the Bible before, maybe just portions of it or maybe the whole thing, does it work like that? Don't you feel oftentimes you end up more confused about your problem than when you started? And so sometimes we cheat. We call the pastor. And we say, Pastor, what does the Bible say about me taking this job? And then we're frustrated when pastor says, go home and read the whole Bible 50 times over and become wise. Right? So the word of God is instruction, and it's designed not primarily to give us exact absolute answers. It's designed to make us wise, to make us the type of people who make wise decisions, wise and loving decisions. And as we're investing in kids these days, our objective is not primarily do this, don't do that, but that they would become a wise and loving person, which is different for every kid. Check this out. This is Proverbs 13. The one who will not use the rod hates their child, but the one who loves them disciplines them diligently. Have you guys ever heard the phrase, spare the rod, spoil the child? It comes from this proverb. What if I was to say, hey, this week we're going to do a sermon on spare the rod, spoil a child, what do you think most people think we'd be talking about? What is it? Yeah, corporal punishment, right? Spanking. And I want to invite you, just for a moment, to recognize that this is not talking about spanking. Okay? So I'm not trying to wade into that conversation, but this ain't about that. Notice, the one who will not use the rod hates their child. Okay, watch this now. What does a shepherd use a rod for? So shepherd, a good shepherd, Jesus, what would a good shepherd want for their sheep? To be safe. What else? Healthy, right? Is beating them mercilessly with a stick something that a good shepherd would do? You ate the wrong grass. Whoops. Is that what a good shepherd does? No. What? So again, this whole idea of that means physical punishment. That's abusing the metaphor. Spare the rod is, what does a rod and a staff do? It's what the shepherd uses to say, hey, don't go that way. Don't go that way. I'll prove it to you. Have you guys ever heard, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me"? Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," etc., etc. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Okay, so the rod is an instrument of comforting instruction. It's don't go this way. Just go this way. It can also be used by shepherds to like prod, like, "Hey, get up and go," right? If you've ever tried to wake a 15-year-old from their slumber, sometimes you just need a little bit of whoop, whoop, like, right? Like, the rod is not for punishment. The rod is not for, the rod is a metaphor for instruct and guide. And the one who will not guide kids these days hates them. The one who will not invest in guiding kids these days does not love them, but what? Hates them. The instruction is what we are called to do. Like, the rod and the staff are to guide and direct this way, not that way. One of the ways that that I've been coached with children is when you're bringing, oh man, this is so important. I want to encourage those of you who are raising kids these days, right now in your home, to be wary of your rhetoric. Watch this. Is there a difference between a child doing something unwise or broken or wrong and saying, "This is your punishment," versus "This is your discipline"? Is there a difference there? What's the difference? One is aiming at their maturing, them becoming a wise and loving person. The other is justice. Let me ask you, this is a rhetorical question, but for parents, are you aiming at justice, or are you aiming at investing and instructing that they become wise and loving? Watch the rhetoric, right? Your punishment is, well, you punish for vengeance, but you discipline for instruction. Do you see the... And here's something else, too. This is just a little tip. If you feel insulted, offended, or that you have been robbed of something, might not be the best time to bring instruction, right? By the way, I am never more furious at my children when they mirror back to me my besetting sins. When I see in them the thing that they're absorbing from me, I can feel shame, I can feel fear, I can feel absolute outrage. Is that the right time to bring instruction? 98% of doing this right is in me, not them. By the way, every time you're arguing with a 3-year-old, you are wrong. Heads up. Discipline is meant and designed, like God, our loving Father, to be healing, helpful, and loving. One of the things that my wife and I picked up along the way is when we're instructing or guiding our children, when they do something that is unwise or unrighteous or whatever it might be, one of the things that we speak into them is, "We know that you are kind and loving and wise. That's who you are. But this thing that you did or this behavior, that's not who you are. And so let's work together to, you know, fix it, make it right, whatever it might be." Notice that what do we start with? Who you are, right? You're not a liar. You're not a thief. You're not whatever. We're speaking words of identity into them. And notice who does that to me. God the Father. God the Father speaks words of affirmation and identity into us before bringing the instruction. He brings the instruction out of love. Proverbs 22:6. "Start a youth out on their way, even when they grow old, they will not depart from it." I love this text. Whose way? Oh, man. I hate this text. If I understand this text correctly, every kids these days has their own path that God has wired them for and called them to. And their path that God has for them may not be the path that I think God should have for them. And that I don't like that because I'm very smart and, you know, I know my kids and I know what exactly what will make me happy about their life. So this could be vocation, this can be temperament, this could be friends, this could be people that they date, it's just their whole life is their path. And by the way, that way thing, that's like the way that they're gonna walk in life. It's the path that they're gonna follow. Which means that as a parent, I don't pick their path for them. God picks their path and calls them to it. And my job, that rod and staff thing, my job is to help them discern the path that God has for them and then encourage and propel them out to follow what God has for them, not what I have for them. And that's scary to me. Because what if God is calling them to something that I think is too risky? What if God is calling them to something that I don't care for? What if God is calling them to a path that I don't want for them? See, my role, our role, for those of us that are investing in kids these days, is to help them recognize the path that God has laid before them, and then to instruct and discipline how to walk that path. If they follow Jesus, here's the deal. I believe that this text is inviting us, as we invest in kids these days, to recognize they're gonna follow Jesus different than I do. They're gonna walk the Jesus way different than I do. And so my role, our role, for those of us investing in kids these days, is early on to help them figure out how they're gonna do it. And then eventually, notice this, eventually, you guys ever, kids on training wheels? You know that thing where you take the training wheels off and there's that space where they're like, and you're holding onto the back of the seat, and there comes that moment, right? There comes that moment when you've got the kid on the bike and they're like, ugh! And you know this probably is gonna end not fun. And you do that thing where you're running alongside of them, but then there's that moment, isn't there, where you have to go and they're off. And so for those of us investing in kids these days when they're young, it's putting the training wheels on, it's holding the bike, it's help them go, but eventually there comes a moment when it's go. And then when they fall down, you know, we say, hey, this is your fault. I didn't fall down. I told you, you know, slow down, but you didn't listen to me. It's your own fault, right? So when they fall down, you help, right? And when they want to level up, you help them level up, and you're there to coach and care and encourage. But we move, don't we, from helping them find their way to once they've found that way, to encouragement and support in the way that God has, the path that God has for them. I want to invite you, as you think about kids these days, whatever the kids these days in your life are, how can you, when they're younger, help them discern their way that God has for them? And then as they age and become more mature, how can you help encourage and support as they go off? We have an opportunity to be a blessing and not a curse. We have opportunity to be like God our Father as we invest, as we instruct, as we seek the flourishing of kids these days. Let me pray for us. Lord, we love you. God, we know that you are a good, good Father. For those of us that are in the middle of parenting younger kids, would you give to us wisdom and guidance as to how train them, to instruct them, to bring discipline. For those of us that have teenagers, we're in that middle space. The training wheels are off, but we're not quite launched yet. Would you give to us wisdom and guidance, Lord? Help us to see how it is that we can bring not only instruction, but also encouragement. For those of us that have adult children in our lives, help us to discern how we can be a blessing as they pursue the path that you have laid out for them. And for all of us, Lord, we are your children. By the power of your Spirit, might we be a people who receive your correction, your instruction, and your discipline, recognizing that you love us and you want for us good. And so as we follow you as your disciples, Jesus, would you guide our step, guide our path, moment by moment. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you guys.